Well, good evening, everyone. It is truly an honor, and frankly, I'm humbled by the opportunity to stand in front of you this evening. I feel like we've been blessed all weekend. You know, it's a really neat feeling to get to come to reunion from a week of camp. The benefit I have of speaking tonight versus last night, like our brother Brandon is I got a little extra sleep than he did. So I'm thankful for that. I want to make a few comments on camp before I dive into what I feel led to share. I am thankful, and I want to thank everyone for their prayers and their support. As Jerry said, you know, it takes the whole team, and truly I'm honored to get to work with amazing people. And I know that we were blessed this year, and we had several experiences, and I don't have time to go into every one of them, but I can tell you that we felt the hand of our Heavenly Father. We felt the spirit of our Heavenly Father there. My brother Jim shared that a young man stood up and gave a testimony, the first testimony of his life, and it was crystal clear, and it was amazing to hear his testimony. Another young brother that stood up, and I'm almost positive that it was his first testimony as well. And he inspired us with his words. A young man who isn't long on words, but our Heavenly Father was working through him. You should be proud of your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your neighbors. We had absolutely an amazing week. And from the youngest camper to the oldest staff member, we kind of joke around. Those young campers, when they climb off the bus on Sunday afternoon, they're going 90 miles an hour. And we had it, right? We had little David Orsted and Travis Hedrick, and they were moving, right? To I think, if I'm not incorrect, our brother Glenn was maybe what's the right word to say it? The eldest, most senior camper. To where we saw our brother Glenn, it was a service of love. Where else can you serve our Heavenly Father as you're going down a slip and slide? And our brother Glenn was right out there with the kids this year doing the slip and slide. And he did great. No bumps and bruises, right? So truly, we were blessed, and we give really the praise and the glory to our Heavenly Father. As I move into my sermon and the words that I feel that I have to share, you know, our brother Brandon last night shared some comments, and one of the things that he said is that if I remember correctly, Brandon, you said that when you were contacted by Rollin to ask to share here, you weren't surprised by it. And I was not surprised by it. In fact, I expected that I would have the opportunity here with you tonight. And I'll tell you that I'll apologize to my brothers and sisters on the phone church. This is a sermon that normally I'm a procrastinator. Normally the way my life goes, and my wife and kids can attest to it, is that I'm constantly preparing for the next thing. And there's about five or six things out ahead of that, and I don't worry about those until right before it, because I don't have time to. And I would tell you that it's very much unlike me that I felt very prepared and directed in my sermon tonight. I will tell you, though, that the words that I have to share is very basic. As our brother Brandon shared, I can relate to his comments of a simple person. I truly believe I'm a simple person. A lot of times in my job, I stand up in front of people and I share a lot. I talk a lot. But I'm not a person of a lot of words. Typically, my presentations are quick ones. And you dive in, you talk for 10, 15, 20 minutes, and you sit down and you get your point. You tell them what you're going to say, you say it, and you tell them again finally in their wrap-up of what you said, and you move on. It's short, it's quick, it's simple. And my hope is here tonight that although I probably have a little more than 20 minutes, My hope is that it's simple. My hope is that my words probably aren't for my mom and dad. They're probably not for my mother-in-law and father-in-law, but it's for some of the young people that are here. This is a very basic sermon, and it's words that truly I felt that guidance and truly felt that direction. This is a sermon that has been on my mind for quite a while, and one that I've worked hard in really thinking of how I put into my words. I want you to turn with me to a scripture that our brother used last night, 2 Nephi, the third chapter. In my Book of Mormon, it's on page 94. Now, I will tell you that this is absolutely my favorite scripture within the Book of Mormon. And this chapter, third chapter, not fourth chapter, third chapter, and is truly my favorite scripture. And I had the opportunity to go and attend cabin time. Cabin time is like around 5 o'clock, just before we go to dinner at camp. And it's a time when we bring the kids in, and it's the counselors get a chance to spend some one-on-one time or some time with their campers. And during the week, in a tradition that was started a long time ago, during the week, during cabin time, one of the evenings we ask that a minister go and attend your cabin time and go and talk to the kids. Now, my brothers who have done that can relate, whether it's a 12-year-old or whether it's an 18-year-old. Typically, by that time in the day, there's two things either going on. So we've probably just got done with slip and slide, or just got done with swimming. Their energy level is super high. All of a sudden, we sit down and we slow down, right? So we're either still bouncing off the wall, right, Travis? Or we're ready to sleep, right? But either way, it's a great opportunity that we have to sit and discuss and share. And I use this scripture with the 12-year-old boys, and this is a scripture that I shared with them that is absolutely my, truly probably one of my favorites of scripture. I'm going to start at the 61st verse. O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me if I ask not amiss. Therefore, I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. Amen. I'll tell you this scripture, as I think about the scripture, and I'm going to start with the scripture and I'm going to end with the scripture, because I really want to focus in on this. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh. Right? We all know, and we all live a crazy life. Right? We all probably have a calendar, a schedule, a timeline that we're subject to at some point. From my kids and seeing their schedules that they live, recognizing that we live in the world. But we have to rely on this, and we have to trust in this. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. I a lot of times is that I hope this is the foundation of the message that I feel led to bring to you. Turn with me to Proverbs, the third chapter. And I'm going to read the first through the tenth verse. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And really, I want to focus in on that tenth verse. I will tell you that my sermon tonight is on tithing. And, you know, you might look back and you might look back at that second book of Nephi, the third chapter, and you may say, well, what does that have to do with tithing? Well, you can say that, but absolutely in my life. Our brother Jim this afternoon, he talked about a message that as you sat and listened, he said at one point in his sermon, he talked about faith, hope, and charity. Right? The core, the foundation, the beliefs that we follow. What is that faith, hope, and charity? Is that if we're putting our trust in the arm of flesh, if we're putting our trust in others around us that do not have that same belief, where is our focus? I'm a firm believer in tithing. And what prompted this and what prompted these thoughts for me is now some may say, well, you know, Jeff, as a bishop, it's probably your responsibility. Well, okay. But I'll tell you, what really prompted my thought was Trenton got his first job. Now, for Michelle and I, that's kind of a glorious experience, right? So hoping that he's going to start paying for a little gas, you know, or start to pay for some of his own expenses. But Trenton got into his first job, and he's working for a golf course right there by our house. And the first paycheck didn't come. And went 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe even 4 weeks before he got his first paycheck. And he got his first paycheck, and it was a big paycheck. And, you know, that thought in my mind to trying to be a good father and giving that direction. And I know that we've taught tithing and talked about tithing. But it was that reminder to sit down with them and say, well, that's a great check, Trent. But what are we going to do with that? What's our responsibility? And it's that reminder for as young adults, that responsibility. The young 12-year-olds, they asked me some questions, and one of the questions they asked me was, why do you do camp? Why are you here? And I told them, I said, there's two things that I really focus on and really enjoy, and why I enjoy being a part of camp. One is to see the youth of our church. You know, a lot of times we talk about is they're the future. Our brother Joel actually challenged us to say is they're not the future, they are the now. These are our brothers and sisters that are sitting here, active members. At one night at campfire, our brother Joel brought up all of the campers who have been baptized in the last year. How many were there, Joel? Did we say, was there 20? Or am I high there? Let's just say there was close to 20 kids that have been baptized in the last year. Members of our church. These are active members of our church. And we look and we see. And this message for me tonight is a very basic message and a very simple message. Is that we have that responsibility. And the Lord is calling and the Lord is working. And I'm thankful for it. Turn with me to 3 Nephi, the 11th chapter. In my Bible, it's on page 668. Now, my hope is that there's nothing here that is new. My hope is that it is that reminder. Turn with me to 3 Nephi, the 11th chapter. I'm going to start at the 9th verse. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances. And have not kept them, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, I was, my job, we live in Iowa. I'm in the heart of agriculture. I work in the agricultural industry, and I'm around farmers all the time. And if you look around, you've seen it. You can look out in your yards around here. It's dry. It's bone dry. Right? And as I'm with farmers, Michelle and I, probably our best friends in where we live, his father farms up in northern Iowa. And, you know, these guys, you talk to any farmer and it's bad. And I was talking to him he said, I was asking him how his crops looked, and he said, "Oh, Jeff, it's bad. It's dry. It doesn't look good." But he said, "You know what?" He said, "We're coming off some amazing years." He said, "Truly, we've been blessed." Right? Here he is, and he's looking, and much that we see right here in the third book of Nephi, there's no doubt if we look in our economy, it's challenging times. You can pick up any newspaper, and it's challenging times in the world we live in. But we got a lot to be blessed or to be thankful for. We are truly a blessed people. And we look around us and we see challenges, no doubt. We look around us and I'll tell you that we see miracles. Our brother Craig stood up and talked to the kids at camp. And as he stood there listening to his testimony, he talked about his testimony coming into the Church of Christ. I look around us and I see these 20 kids that have been baptized. We can't look and say that there isn't a blessing, that there isn't great things. Yes, there is a bad economy. Yes, there is a drought that we're facing. But we are truly a blessed people. And we are told here is that it doesn't mean that we can stop. You know, in the 11th verse, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." It's ultimately our responsibility that we have. You know, the message, like I said, has been on my mind and it's been on my heart for some time. It's a very simple mind. It's a very simple message, but a reminder for all of us. I'm going to call it a calling to our youth. It's the importance of paying tithing. There's many examples throughout the Bible, and I'm not going to go into all of them. Genesis 14 is an example. Exodus 23, the 19th verse. "The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God." Nehemiah, the 13th chapter, the 12th verse. "Then brought all Judah the tithe of corn and the new wine and the oil unto the treasuries." Numbers, the 18th. Let's go to Numbers, the 18th chapter. I'm going to start at the 24th verse, the 18th chapter of the 24th verse. "But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance." Continuing on, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. And this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress." You know, I remember as a young kid growing up in my grandma Nast. My grandma Nast was one who, she was going to make sure that she was going to instill in us some of the basic beliefs, right? As my cousins, I look at my cousins, I think they've all have had that stern talk of Grandma Nast, right? Tithing was one of them, and I remember that first job. I remember that first paycheck, and I remember my grandma telling me, 10%, right? She probably didn't take as long as I'm going to take here sharing with you tonight. It's a very simple message, but we recognize that heave offering that it says here, right? It's that, it's just simply an offering, that responsibility that we have, the first fruits, the first that we have. This was a practice that was set up through time, and we know the importance of paying that. So turn with me to Hebrews, the 7th chapter. I'm going to start at the first verse. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the son of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law that is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. You know, I had an experience not too long ago, Michelle pays all of our bills in our house, most of them. We split the responsibility. Usually I balance the checkbook, and she pays the bills. And my paycheck, when it comes in, it goes directly in, and I have my paycheck kind of split out, going a few different directions, and one of them goes into a separate savings account that I have with a credit union. And I'm always adjusting it. And being a good husband, I do an absolutely poor job of communicating with my wife that I'm adjusting what I'm putting into my savings account. And it's one that Michelle, you know, it's not our normal account. It's just one that we set aside and we don't think about and we don't do much with. And there for a while, I was really trying to ramp up what I was putting in there. And I wasn't telling Michelle. Finally, one day, Michelle is talking to me, and she says, "Man, it's pretty much everything you've got coming in, we've got going out. What is going on?" Well, I forgot to tell her that several months before, I really increased what I was trying to put away in there, And so we were talking and going on, and it hit me. I put that in there. She's paying 10% based off of what she sees. Right in that embarrassment, that concern in my mind, and that disappointment in myself, in one, that poor communication, and not communicating to my wife, and not doing the responsibility that we have. Because truly I feel that we do have a responsibility. It's a simple one. And it's one that we can look out and we can think about as we've grown up through time and we've heard testimonies of those that have been blessed that recognize the importance of that. Turn with me to Alma, the 10th chapter. I'm going to start at the first verse. "Now, as I said, concerning the holy order of this high priesthood, there were many which were ordained to become high priests of God. And it was on account of their exceeding faith and repentance and their righteousness before God, they choosing to repent and work righteousness rather than to perish. Therefore, they were called after this holy order and were sanctified, and their garments were washed white through the blood of the Lamb. Now they, after being sanctified by the Holy Ghost, having their garments made white, being pure and spotless before God, could not look upon sin, save it were with abhorrence. And there were many, exceeding great many, which were made pure and entered into the rest of the Lord their God. And now, my brethren, I would that ye should humble yourselves before God and bring forth fruit meet for repentance, that ye may also enter into that rest." You know, and to me, that sixth verse, although, you know, it says, is that I should humble myself before God. Right? It's that responsibility that we have. It's that step that we have to take. Humble ourselves before God and bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. "Yea, humble yourselves even as the people in the days of Melchizedek, who was also a high priest after the same order which I have spoken, who also took upon him the high priesthood forever, and was the same Melchizedek to whom Abraham paid tithes, yea, even our father Abraham paid tithes of one-tenth part of all that he possessed. Now these ordinances were given after this manner, that thereby the people might look forward on the Son of God, it being a type of his order, or it being his order. And this, that they might look forward to him for the remission of their sins, that they might enter into rest to the Lord." You know, and I read that and I think about that. I think about those verses because of that example that is given. Much like we read back in Hebrews, that example of that it talks about of Abraham and what he did and the example that was set. But you know, there's many responsibilities that we have besides just paying our tithing. For most, to pay our tithes, it's instilled in us. But I'll tell you, and I've heard people say it, is that that isn't the only responsibility that we have. Right, our brother Jim talked about it. It's faith, it's hope, it's charity. It's that responsibility that we have. It's not just the tithes that we have. I can tell you that, as a bishop in the church, I can see, and we all look and see what our church finances are. I can tell you that we just finished the first quarter, so April is the beginning of our year. We go through 3 months, and that's our first quarter. As a church, there is no doubt in my mind that we are greatly blessed. If you look, and if you watch and you track what tithes, just kind of looking at the aggregate, the total that comes in, we are a blessed church, and that our needs are provided for. If you think about just in 3 months, for the most part, the outreach of the church, whether it's for travels, whether it's for supporting people, if you look at for the church, you know, just in 3 months, probably, in fact, exactly what we brought in was paid for the expenses of the church. Now, you can look at that two ways. I'm truly the optimist. I look at things and I say, exactly what we needed was provided for. Clearly, we're blessed. Clearly, we're in times that are absolutely some of the most challenging economic times that, at least from my generation, will ever, at least up to this point, have ever known. And you look and our brother Alvin and I, as we talk and as we see things, there's no doubt, you know, there's been times where it gets close. But the Lord provides. But there's also a responsibility we have, is not just the tithes that we pay, but also the support and the help for the needy. But that help for the needy and the donations that we give on our own does not make up for the tithe and the responsibility of that 10% that we have to give. But there is more that we have to do. And additionally, if you just think about the tithes alone doesn't take care of all the needs. Turn with me to Luke, the 11th chapter. I'm just going to read one verse there. I'm going to read the 42nd verse. But woe unto the Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye have done and not to leave the other undone. You know, the beyond just the tithes, it's the responsibility we have. A couple weeks ago, we came down to Independence. Went to the East Local and I sat there in the service, and I'm going to start off by saying I hope I don't offend any of my brothers and sisters at the East Local by saying this, but there's a lot of retired people at the East Local now. There's a lot of retired people that are sitting in the local, and as I looked around, as I say this to those that are my age or close, we have a responsibility. My mom and dad aren't going to write out the check for the donation for something anymore. Now they still will. I'm not meaning that. Right? But those of us that are in our youth, those are us that are in our careers, in our lives, those of us, you know, I look to this section up here, those of us that are coming up into our youth or into our adulthood, we have a responsibility. I remember last week I was talking to Adam and Andy, and they were talking about some of the challenges in the Phoenix Local and how they're running out of room. And you know that what that means is that we're going to have to expand a building at some point, or we're going to have to build a new building at some point. Well, it's going to take us. It's our responsibility. It's our time to rise up. And as I look down upon these young people, I have a lot of great hope. But we also have a lot of fear. And we have a lot of concern. Because we can look at camp, and Jenny Yates this year, hopefully you saw there was a blog that she did this year. And not to put a plug in, but you can go to cofcteencamp.com, and there were details and pictures and things about the camp. And one of the things that Jenny did is as she and Joel were driving here, is they pulled out all of the old camp journals. I've never totaled up, and I don't know if I could, but total up the number of kids that we have seen come through camp. You know, interestingly, just starting now is starting to be some of the kids of some of some of their parents who were campers at one point. What an exciting time if you think about 23 years this year of camp. Right? There's a lot of these kids who were little kids at that time who are now adults. Where there is a lot of excitement, and I can look here and I can see the youth and energy, there's also a lot that aren't here. I've never totaled up, like I said, the number of kids that have been through camp. We're losing some. We've lost some. We need to be praying about that, and we need to be, and I know we are, and we need to be seeking the Lord in that. But recognize that does not limit our responsibility that we have in our tithes and our offering. Turn with me to Luke, the 6th chapter. We are to give of our tithes and our offerings freely, generously. The money is for the aid and the support, recognizing the tithing and the importance of the tithing. Luke, the 6th chapter and the 30th verse. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask him not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what think have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what think have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend them of whom ye hope to receive, what think have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. You know, and really for me, I key on that 30th and 34th verse. Give to every man that asketh of thee. I would, again, I would tell you, as you can look and see and truly as a church, we are a giving church. We are a blessed church, and as those tithes and offerings come in, we are able to give for those that stand in need. But it's truly that, as it says in the 34th verse, I think truly even these verses call to us personally. Besides just that tithes, it's those offerings, it's that help, it's that support. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And in the 34th verse, and if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what think of ye? Right, there are a lot of key things that we have to help raise up our children and help teach them. But absolutely, this responsibility as well. I want to see, and I started to say earlier, why do I love camp? Why do I do it? It's because of the youth and the kids that are there. That's number one. It's that service and that responsibility that I feel that we have. Number two, it's for those young adults. It's for the Jeremiah Cases. It's for the Andrew Bells. It's for the Corbins, the Indianas. The young adults that we see coming up into adulthood. My young niece, Katie, as she stood up here, it can't help but to be proud to see her there. Right? That calling and that responsibility that we have to stand up. But I look to every one of them and I see, work hard in school. Get a good job. You have to contribute. You have a responsibility. You have a calling. No doubt we have that calling to our Heavenly Father. But we have that calling to support and to do. I had came up with a bunch of percentages and numbers, and at this point, probably I'm going to skip over that. And as you think about as a church. So I'm not a finance guy, but I enjoy the data. I enjoy the information. My brother Harris will tell you probably in our bishop meetings, he probably gets tired of me asking questions sometimes. And to me, though, I like to see the trends and I like to see what's happening. And I truly have been amazed. And one of the numbers that I watch regularly, and I started to share this earlier, but it really applies to that which we see. You know, I am amazed at year over year, like I said, in these challenging economic times, the church tithing continues to come in solid. Understanding the importance of that tithing is critical in the outreach of our church. Plane tickets have not gone down in price, have they? They've only gone up. And we're reaching to parts of this world that isn't cheap to fly to. Africa, India. I've been to India for work. You know, it's number one, it's a long, grueling trip just to get there, a long, grueling trip to get back. The flight itself is extremely high. Those costs will only continue to climb. I guarantee it. Turn with me to Galatians, the sixth chapter. In Galatians, the sixth chapter, I'm just going to read two verses, the ninth and the tenth verse. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It is that calling and that responsibility that we have. Turn with me to Luke, the 21st chapter. I've got just a few verses, a few more readings I don't want to go through. And this is an important one, and one that I think is vital in our understanding of our responsibility. Luke 21, the first verse, and he looked up and he saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of penury hath cast in all the living that she had. You know, here is a woman, and you define that as extreme poverty, destitution. You know, if you think about the synonyms of that, poverty, want, destitution, need. Right here was a person that didn't have a lot, but still gave. The Lord doesn't differentiate whether you have a whole bunch or whether you have a little bit. It is our responsibility. It is every one of our responsibility here. Frankly, we're taught to give freely and without fanfare, without knowledge of others. Those are the examples that I would see as a kid growing up. My aunts, my uncles, my loved ones, those that I grew up, that I knew, that I respected. It was that simply to give. You know, I had a little catchy phrase, but my wife told me I had it wrong earlier, right? It was simply, we are to give simply. Right? My wife reminded me that proper English would be simply, we are to simply give. Right, but either way you divide that out, either way you look at that, simply our responsibility is to give. Jacob, the second chapter, starting at the 22nd verse. Think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all, and free with your substance, that they may be rich like unto you. But before ye seek for riches, seek ye for the kingdom of God. Right, that is important. It's not that tithes outweighs any other responsibility we have. If I've given that idea, I am sorry. Before ye seek for riches, seek ye for the kingdom of God. And after that ye have obtained a hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches if ye seek them. And ye will seek them for the intent to do good, to clothe the naked, and to feed the hungry, and to liberate the captive, and to minister relief to the sick and the afflicted. Turn with me to Mosiah, the ninth chapter, starting at the 60th verse. And again, Alma commanded that the people of the church should impart of their substance, every one according to that which he hath. If ye have more abundantly, he should impart more abundantly. And he that hath but little should be required, and to him that hath not should be given. And thus they should impart of their substance of their own free will, and good desires towards God, and to those priests that stood in need, yea, and to every needy naked soul. And this he said unto them, having been commanded of God. And they did walk uprightly before God, imparting to one another, both temporally and spiritually, according to their needs and their wants. You know, really, again, like I was saying before, is very simple. My message tonight has, I hope, been very simple. It's not complex and probably didn't take as long as I've taken to share it. I look out and I have great hope. I am excited for the future that we have as I look at the young people in our church. You know, it was interesting to me. We had a few new campers this year, besides just our young 12-year-olds, but even some older ones. And these young people, it's exciting to me to see because they fit right in. They're right in a part of the crew. Even one got me with a piece of cake in my face. Right, but you think about the fun that we can have, you think about the excitement that we see. But again, that responsibility that we have, this is a very simple message. And my hope is even as the young people sat here, is that they could pick up and understand that message. I'm going to close again with the verse that I started with, the verses that I started with, the second book of Nephi, the third chapter, starting at the 61st verse. O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. That is my prayer, and that is my hope, that we can trust in the Lord no matter what it be. Do we have concerns? Do we have fears? Are we concerned for the kids and what they face in their lives? Absolutely. My hope is each of you get down on your knees every night and pray for the young people. They face unbelievable challenges. O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me, if I ask not amiss. Therefore, I will lift up my voice unto thee. I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall ascend forever. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. Amen. And that is my hope and my prayer that we're going to face challenges. We're going to face spiritual. We're going to face financial. We're going to face times and days where we have bad days and where we have good days. But if we can walk and if we can put our trust in our Heavenly Father, we're still going to have challenges. But we know that we have a hope and we have something better there. My hope and my prayers are for each of you, and I hope you'll continue to pray for us. Thank you.